Greetings, warrior veterans and American loving citizens from sea to shining sea. Welcome to Frontlines of Freedom. Hoo-wah! I'm Colonel Danny Gillum. Thanks for joining us. The election is over, so we can lighten up a bit. So here's a couple of funny quotes that I found this week. Quote, Seattle Public Schools focused the critical race theory lens into math classes and concluded that math is racist and used to keep minorities down. I guess the kind of math question they would find acceptable is, if you divide 85 genders by 3 bathrooms, how much climate change do you have? Okay.
Colonel, that's terrible, but I love it.
Here's the other one. Progressive Grocer magazine states that Thanksgiving turkeys will cost 50% more this year at grocery stores. It boggles my mind how the American colonists had to hunt for their food every day when they arrived here. I'm glad I didn't have to hunt for food. I don't even know where sandwiches live. Thanks for not laughing. Okay, joining me at the 50 caliber microphone today is Marine vet Skip Coriel. Skip, what'd you do for Veterans Day?
Well, Colonel, we had a great time. We like to watch war movies, you know, John Wayne and Saving Private Ryan. You know, there's a lot of really good. And, you know, it's like a military day at our house, and hot dogs and coleslaw, potato salad, all that good stuff. So we had a really good time, Colonel.
Hey, you're talking about military food. We eat a lot of hot dogs and coleslaw and stuff like that, didn't we? Okay, here's what we have for you today. A news and comment by the Colonel. I'm going to discuss both the cause of the war in Ukraine and then Veterans Day. Then Chief Warrant Officer Roland Ashby will contribute his warrant wisdom. Then Josh Stanwitz from Concerned Veterans for America will discuss the election and some of our nation's many challenges. Next, Colonel Alan West from the American Constitutional Rights Union will share his insights. And, of course, we'll discuss last weekend's Service Academy football games.
Hey, troops. Please invite your friends to join us at this time on this great radio station. Then head on out to frontlinesoffreedom.com and sign up for our free e-newsletter. And join the conversation at facebook.com/frontlinesoffreedom.
We welcome your input to this show. Send us your ideas and comments through our website, frontlinesoffreedom.com, or do it on Facebook. And now it's time for news and comments by the Colonel on Frontlines of Freedom, and we'll start with the news. Take us there, Skip. What's first?
Well, Colonel, Saudi Arabia has shared intelligence with us that suggests Iran could be preparing for an imminent attack on the kingdom. The heightened concerns about an attack on Saudi Arabia, as the Biden administration is criticizing Tehran for its crackdown on widespread protests and condemning it for sending hundreds of drones, as well as technical support, to Russia for use in its war in Ukraine. Quote, we are concerned about the threat picture, and we remain in constant contact through military and intelligence channels with the Saudis, the National Security Council said. We will not hesitate to act in the defense of our interests and partners in the region. The Pentagon press secretary said our military officials are concerned about the threat situation in the region. We're in regular contact with our Saudi partners in terms of what information they may have to provide on that front. But what we said before, and I'll repeat it, is that we will reserve the right to protect and defend ourselves no matter where our forces are serving, whether in Iraq or elsewhere. We and the Saudis accused Iran in 2019 of being behind a major attack in eastern Saudi Arabia. The Iranians denied they were behind the attack. In recent weeks, the Biden administration has imposed sanctions on Iranian officials for the brutal treatment of demonstrators after the death of 22-year-old Mahsa Amini in September, while in the custody of Iranian security forces. The administration has also hit Iran with sanctions for supplying drones to Russia for use in Ukraine.
The Iranian leadership has been violently hostile towards Saudi Arabia for decades. Part of it is the hatred and rivalry between the Sunni and Shia sects of Islam. That's at least the excuse Iran uses. Most of it is the hunger for power in the basically evil Iranian leadership. We've been working with Saudi for generations. The Saudis even silently supported Israel when it appeared that Iran would attack them. We should continue to work with Saudi Arabia.
And the Air Force is allowing instructors who remain unvaccinated against COVID-19 to fly again, a change that comes as a result of a pending lawsuit that is stopping the service from punishing those who have refused to get inoculated. The pilots were grounded this summer. On October 25, memo by Major General Philip Stewart, the commander of 19th Air Force, reverses an August 19 decision that kept those unvaccinated teachers from flying. Quote, instructor pilots who received final denial of their religious or medical accommodation request for the COVID-19 vaccination and requested retirement or separation will be permitted to fly again until litigation regarding the COVID-19 mandate is resolved by the U.S. courts, said a spokesman for Air Education and Training Command. One of the reasons behind the change is a pending lawsuit filed by troops attached to Wright-Patterson Air Force Base, Ohio, that has led to temporary protections for the over 9,000 active duty, active reserve, reserve and National Guard members of the Air Force and Space Force who asked for a religious exemption from the COVID-19 vaccine mandate. While the memo states that the pending court case does not affect the policy that the Air Force intends to ground unvaccinated flight instructors, Stewart wrote he was reinstating their flying privileges, adding it was, quote, in the best interest of the Air Force, unquote, meaning the policy could change again based on the outcome of the lawsuit.
This have to have a COVID jab policy in our military is beyond stupid and contrary to science. There's all kinds of evidence that the shot doesn't keep anyone from getting or spreading COVID, and it has some very negative medical outcomes for some people who get the jab. There are virtually no troops who have received a religious exemption. This shows a built-in bias. Most of the people who die from COVID have received the shot or several of them. I'm hoping sometime that our civilian and military leaders can just admit this was a big mistake, but it's never going to happen.
I think you're right, Colonel. I think it's maybe there's a little bit of ego involved, I think.
Or a power grab or whatever it is.
Well, and President Joe Biden has signed a proclamation designating this month, November, as National Veterans and Military Families Month. Here is the text of the president's proclamation. This month, our nation honors the strength and sacrifices of the families, caregivers, and survivors of our veterans and our current service members. They may not wear uniforms, but their service is essential to our national security and the character of our nation. We owe them a debt of gratitude that we can never fully repay. Constant tours, deployments, and rotations are difficult for our military families. Jill and I have personally experienced the anxious pride that parents feel seeing their child in uniform. We have marveled at the devotion of military families and their resilience to uproot their lives every few years and move to new communities. We honor the stalwart courage and resolve of veteran families caring for their loved ones when their service in uniform concludes. We grieve alongside families of the fallen who have lost a piece of their soul. That is why I take so seriously the sacred obligation to prepare and equip our service members when we send them into harm's way and to care for them and their families when they return home.
It's always appropriate to recognize and honor our military and their families. This was a very nice gesture by our president. However, for generations now, the month of May has been designated officially as Military Appreciation Month. This is a special month for both those in and out of the military. Not only do we pause on Memorial Day to remember the sacrifice and service of those who gave all, but the month also holds several other military anniversaries and events, including Military Spouse Appreciation Day and Armed Forces Day. I wonder if the president's proclamation eliminated May as Military Appreciation Month, or perhaps he didn't even know about it. And that's the news. As Americans, it's our responsibility to ensure our nation is well-run and on the right path. Politics and politicians are confusing, but we can work together. Concerned Veterans for America can assist you, even if you're not a vet, in getting involved and getting our nation back on track. Working with them is one of the things I do regularly. Check CV4A.org. That's CV4A.org. This is Colonel Denny Gillum. Coming up on Front Lines of Freedom, I'll share comments by the Colonel. We'll enjoy some warrant wisdom. Then we'll talk with Josh Stanwitz from Concerned Veterans for America. At ease, troops, take a break.
Fresh, flash, frozen from the American farmer every time. PatriotFoods.com, hit the shop now button. You're supporting a veteran family in need every time you shop. Look at us online, see how we give back. for the servicemen and women of this great country. We are fighting for the American farmer. PatriotFoods.com, promo code FREEDOM, 10% off today, folks. Shop now.
This is Colonel Denny Gillum. I buy Patriot Foods. It's great. PatriotFoods.com, promo code FREEDOM.
This is Marine Vet Skip Coriel with your home defense tip of the week. Look like sheep and you'll be eaten by wolves. According to interviews done with armed robbers, you are far more likely to be targeted by criminals if you look weak and helpless. Carry yourself with pride and military bearing, because many criminals can spot a soft target with one glance. Stay alert and aware of your surroundings. This is just one more way to keep your family safe. For more useful tips on home and personal defense, visit homedefenseshow.com.
Nearly 30% of veterans have disabilities caused by military service. At Berry Law, we fight to make sure that every veteran receives full compensation for their injuries. Our team of attorneys, veterans, and former VA employees have helped veterans recover over $100 million in back pay from inadequate VA decisions. For a free consultation, call 888-883-2483.
Do you have a story inside you yearning to come out? As a self-published author, you are free to creatively distribute your book online or using your own professional connections. White Feather Press will publish your manuscript and set up online distribution, allowing the author to retain all copyright and distribution rights as well as all profits. Check out White Feather Press at publishyourdream.com. White Feather Press, reaffirming faith in God, family, and country. This is Colonel Denny Gillum. It's 20 minutes after the hour, and you are in formation and listening to the Front Lines of Freedom all across America. Troops, did you know that American farmers are going out of business because folks are buying foreign food? It's not good for our nation's security if we can't feed ourselves. We need to maintain our food independence by buying food grown in America. Patriot Foods is not emergency food. It's food produced by our farmers. I love it. I eat it. Use the promo code FREEDOM and save 10%. Check patriotfoods.com. That's patriotfoods.com. Now it's time for comments by the Colonel. I spoke last week about the war in Ukraine. I do not in any way support Russia's attack on Ukraine and its people. Yet virtually every foreign affairs expert in our nation feel that our seeking to get Ukraine into NATO was a huge mistake. Indeed, William Burns, who was President Bush's ambassador to Moscow and is now President Biden's director of Central Intelligence, totally agrees. Here's a quote from his note to then Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice, quote, "Ukrainian entry into NATO is the brightest of all red lines for the Russian elite, not just Putin. In over 2.5 years of conversations with key Russian players, from knuckle draggers in the dark recesses of the Kremlin to Putin's sharpest liberal critics, I have yet to find anyone who views Ukraine in NATO as anything other than a direct challenge to Russian interests. It would be seen as throwing down the strategic gauntlet. Today's Russia will respond. Russian-Ukrainian relations will go into a deep freeze. It will create a fertile soil for Russian meddling in Crimea and eastern Ukraine," end quote. Note that when Russia invaded Crimea a couple of months ago, no blood was shed. The people welcomed the Russian military. This is, you may remember, an area where everyone speaks Russian and thinks of themselves as Russian. And this is the place where Russia's warm water fleet is stationed. It's Russia's key to protecting its southern border. Yet President Biden refused to promise Putin that we'd keep Ukraine out of NATO, despite all the advice to the contrary. That is clearly what started this war. Perhaps if we agreed to keep Ukraine out of NATO, it would help end the war. One thing to remember is that our nation should not think of itself as the world's cop or the chief exporter of democracy. We stayed in Afghanistan as long as we did because we were trying to mold that totally tribal region into first a united country and then into a democracy. Let's not try to do that anymore. Okay, now Veterans Day. That's Friday, November 11th. Folks, it's never inappropriate to show appreciation for those who are serving in our military or who have served. However, our nation has set aside 3 days to honor specific groups. Armed Forces Day is the third Saturday in May. On that day, we honor those presently still serving, active duty, guard, and reserve. Almost nobody knows about this holiday. Almost no one celebrates it, but it's there. Memorial Day, traditionally the 30th of May, but now, in order to create a 3-day weekend, is the last Monday in May. Some veterans groups celebrate on traditional Memorial Day, some on the official Monday. Well, this year, May 30th fell on the last Monday in May, so no confusion here this year. Originally, it was a day to honor those who lost their lives while serving in combat. Now we remember all those who served in our military and are no longer with us. Then there's Veterans Day. It was originally called Armistice Day, as it was the day that the fighting stopped during World War I. Both sides agreed that all fighting would stop at 11 a.m. on the 11th day of the 11th month, and it did. This didn't officially end the war. That came later with a formal surrender. But the fighting was over, and the good guys won. Armistice Day originally was the day to honor all those who served in World War I. Our troops fought bravely and well and suffered a lot of losses. Then there was World War II, where even more Americans were involved, and then the Korean War. So in June 1954, at the urging of many veterans organizations, it was decided to rename it to Veterans Day and to honor all those who have served in our military in all wars. It's important that we citizens ensure that our children know about these holidays and the wars so that they can be patriotic Americans. It's especially important that parents do that today, as many schools are teaching very negative and false things about our nation from its founding until now. So please, make it a family event to celebrate Veterans Day. Maybe go to a parade, do something, at least discuss it with your children. Finally, this last Tuesday was Election Day. No surprise, we still don't know the outcomes for sure. I'm disappointed that all the modifications to elections in our nation. Previously, we voted on Election Day by going to vote then. Indeed, that's what my wife and I did. Older folks, the military, people traveling with special needs, they could get absentee ballots. That should have worked this year. I guess we'll know the winners by early next week, if they can get through all the voter fraud activity. And I'm outraged at all the hate, not discouragement, but raw, nasty hate. And virtually all of it coming from one side, the side that supports rioters, open borders, woke education, and defunding police. Please keep praying for our nation. And those are my comments for today. This is Colonel Denny Gillum. You're listening to Frontlines of Freedom, and now we get to enjoy some warrant wisdom with Chief Warrant Officer Roland Ashby. What do you have to share this week, Roland?
This past week was the birthday for the U.S. Marine Corps. And every United States Marine can tell you, the Corps was birthed in a Philadelphia bar called Tun Tavern in 1775. Unfortunately, all that remains of the historic birthplace is a marker where Tun Tavern once stood. Its original site near the waterfront is now occupied by Interstate 95. Tun Tavern was founded just 3 years after the city of Philadelphia in 1685. It was known for serving the best beers in town and became an important meeting place. In fact, it also is now recognized as the birthplace for Freemasons and home to the Grand Lodge of Pennsylvania. Benjamin Franklin was the third Grand Master of the Lodge. So along with the Marine Corps, America's 2.3 million Freemasons can also celebrate Tun Tavern as their origin. When it came time for the Continental Congress to meet in Philadelphia in the 1770s, they often found themselves at Tun Tavern. And in October 1775, a seven-person committee led by John Adams met at Tun Tavern to draft articles of war and commission a new naval fleet. A month later, Samuel Nicholas was appointed commandant of the new Continental Marines and began recruiting skilled marksmen to become the first Marines. And where else would he do this? But at Tun Tavern. The first ever company of Marines consisted of 100 Rhode Islanders. They, like the rest of the new Marine Corps, were posted aboard Continental Navy ships. Throughout the Revolutionary War, Philadelphia was a contested city. It was the second largest port city of the British Empire, after London itself. As a capital of the rebel country, it was the target of the British from early in the war. The British held the city until their defeat in Saratoga, New York. After France joined the war on the American side, General William Howe resigned in Philadelphia in 1778, and his successor, Sir Henry Clinton, abandoned control of the city in favor of protecting the eastern coast from the French attack. Tun Tavern stood the entire time, even as the fighting raged in the streets. In 1781, Tun Tavern burnt down. A disastrous end to this historic site, and it was never rebuilt. I first learned about Tun Tavern when I visited the National Museum of the Marine Corps in Virginia. They recreated Tun Tavern right in the museum on the second deck. The tavern seats up to 87 people, and it's open to the public, offering a full lunch menu and, of course, beer. For Frontlines of Freedom, I'm Chief Warrant Officer Roland Ashby. Back to you, Colonel.
Thanks, Roland. I appreciate you, man. Those are great comments. Straight ahead on Frontlines of Freedom, we'll discuss the election with John Stanwitz from Concerned Veterans for America, and then we'll talk with Colonel Alan West from the American Constitutional Rights Union. All this is coming up. I'm Colonel Danny Gillum. You're standing tall with Frontlines of Freedom. I'll be right back. Troops, it's time for sit-ups. Start with 50, take a break and do another 50, then stand at ease.
HealthVet.net is here to help all veterans, active military, and families. HealthVet.net is a national help center helping the military community with their everyday needs. Whether you need a realtor, an attorney, discounted services, or information on retirement benefits, financial resources, and much more, our vast network of hand-picked qualified service providers are waiting to help you. With up-to-date military news and resources, you can find answers to all your needs at HealthVet.net. HealthVet.net. Never forget, never forgotten.
Friends, there's not too many things I enjoy more than helping veterans and eating great beef jerky. Now I can do both. My good friends at Tango3.org and America's Best Beef Jerky use the highest quality beef to make the best jerky I've ever tasted. Trust me, I've eaten a lot. But that's not all. They give 100% of the profit to vetted veterans programs, mental health and suicide prevention. Go to americasbestbeefjerky.com and order now. And at checkout, check the Frontlines of Freedom promo code. Troops, welcome back to our nation's largest military veteran talk radio show. I'm Colonel Denny Gillum. Welcome to Frontlines of Freedom. Troops, please do send me your comments and questions. Email me through frontlinesoffreedom.com. It's an honor to welcome back to the show Josh Stanwitz from Concerned Veterans for America. He's definitely a vet, having served in both the Marines and then the Army National Guard. This guy loves America and he loves vets. So I guess I should say welcome aboard to honor your Marine background, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Thanks for having me, sir.
Hey, Josh, we're brothers. Tell us about your time in the Marines and then the Guard. Why did you join each of them?
Oh, man. Great story. So initially, I joined the Marines right out of high school, 1998. I come from extremely very long lineage of military members on both sides of my family. My dad's a Korean Vietnam vet. My mom's family fought in the Pacific. My grandfather jumped in the Pacific with the 11th Airborne. So pretty long line and lineage there. I'm the glutton for punishment, one of the only ones to join the Marine Corps. So I get beat up on pretty frequently when I go home. But no, I just always wanted to serve. I was blessed enough to serve with the anti-terrorism security team. I did a couple of deployments with them. I also served with 3rd Battalion, 7th Marines, India Company. I was a machine gun section leader there. Did a deployment with them. And you know, I missed it. I wanted to go back in, and the Marines do this thing where if you have a break in service, they start pulling stripes. And the Army recruiter was smart enough. He heard me talking to the Marine recruiter. And when I didn't want to go back in as a Lance Corporal from being a sergeant, the Army snagged me. And I served in the Army for over 8 years for the Guard and deployed with them to Northern Iraq in an infantry capacity, 2008, 2009, had absolute blast, great unit. No regrets.
So you legitimately can claim both, and you do claim both. And since last Thursday was the Marines' birthday, I should say happy birthday to that. And since yesterday was Veterans Day, well, we'll both celebrate that.
Okay. Absolutely.
Yep. Now you're with Concerned Veterans for America. What attracted you to join them? How did that happen?
Absolutely. I was having issues with the VA at that point in time. I was working like a lot of us infantrymen do in law enforcement. I had to have an emergency surgery that was due to an injury that I had received in Iraq and that we were unaware of at the time. So I had an emergency surgery. Thank God I had private benefits. I was not in the VA system at the time. I was still appealing my case. So while I was sitting home healing up, a fellow devil dog reached out to me on social media of all places, knew I had a degree in policy, asked if I was interested in voicing my concerns with the VA and the issues I had with, at that point in time, it would have been Senator McCain and Senator Flake, Congressman Salmon, Congresswoman Sinema, that group back in the day. And I said, absolutely, I have no issues with that. So, you know, fast forward a month later, I'm in Washington, D.C. with my wife and several hundred other veterans at Vets on the Hill, something CVA does annually, meeting with my representation for the state of Arizona and talking to them in depth about the issues that I had in the VA. I fell in love with the organization, started volunteering for it, and that turned into what has been an absolutely amazing and extremely rewarding career. I'm giving back to veterans and you know, helping my fellow brothers and sisters get the health care that they deserve.
Wow. You know, isn't it interesting how you can get a life-changing thing can just happen out of nowhere? It wasn't that you planned and worked your way that way. It just all of a sudden happened, and it was delightful, and boom, you took the turn. That's awful lot of us have those kind of experiences. Well, Josh, I'm sure you noticed that last Tuesday we had an election, and the folks in your state seem to really be wanting attention because they seem to take their time counting votes and everything. Well, it's a safe thing to say that back when I was a kid, when you voted, you knew that evening every vote had been counted. And some now that we're highly technical, it takes weeks and months, and then the appeals and all that stuff. So we probably don't know everything right now. But what's your perspective of how things came out? Was it at all like you expected? And I say you, I mean you and the corporate you, CVA.
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, there's another side to my role with CVA. I advise and work with CVA Action, Concerned Veterans for America Action. They actually do the political stuff. So we were involved in not a lot of races, about 10 races nationwide. Out of the six candidates that CVA Action endorsed, six definitely won. I think two are up in the air, or two did not win, and one is up in the air, perhaps. But what I saw, and I think what we've seen, is still there's a pretty big fracture, right, nationwide. And realistically, a lot of people are still very turned off politically, right, with everything that's been going on. And it's been interesting, I would say, this election cycle. Definitely some surprises. I think everybody was surprised with the outcomes in Pennsylvania, some of the outcomes in Ohio. I know we certainly were. But, you know, at the end of the day, I think America is fairly resilient. And ultimately, hopefully, the legislators that were elected and the representatives that were elected are going to focus a lot on healing and fixing this nation and getting us out of some of the trouble that we're in. Right. So,
well, that's what we can hope for. I taught political science for about 15 years. And one of the things I have noticed in elections is that incumbents tend to get reelected. The reelection rate for members of the House of Representatives is about 90%. For senators, it's about 80%. I guess most people feel that if your name's on the ballot that says incumbent and the world didn't end, we'll just vote for you rather than think and see how you voted and follow up with you. People just tend to, check. So I was surprised. I was not expecting that this time, but it appears like that's what happened in a lot of cases. Is that consistent with your observation?
Yeah, I think so. I think anybody that works in the field or has worked in the field, teaches, is a student of political science, name recognition plays a big, big role, right? That's why a lot of these candidates spend, you know, millions, hundreds of millions of dollars, you know, focus so much on their war chests and fundraising. To build that name recognition, you know, in one of the gubernatorial primaries out here between Carrie Lake and Karen Table Roberson, you know, Roberson was criticized quite heavily because of her the amount of money she had to spend to get even remotely close to the same recognition as you know, our gubernatorial candidate Carrie Lake out here right now, and that's because she was a news anchor for decades, right? So. Plays a huge role. I agree with you on that. I think a lot of people are very much single issue voters still. You know, they elect candidates based off of one issue, not realizing that they pass hundreds of laws, if not more, a year. And some of those are contradictory to actually the way they vote, right?
So, yes. It's my observation that most people vote stupid. I always vote Republican. I always vote Democrat. I always vote pro this. I always vote pro that. Somebody gives me a list and I vote it. I don't even know what the offices are. I don't even know who the people are. And I certainly have never been in communication with them. But everybody, I think, everybody I know was expecting it to be a bit different this time. And it was some places, but not in most places. So, hey, it's our country. It's a constitutional republic. It's acting like one. And, you know, and good Americans come in all flavors. We don't all have to see things the same way or vote the same way. And we're all good Americans. And as long as we like and respect each other and don't call names, things can go on.
100%. You know, that's one of the things that we've always said at CVA. And you having served yourself, sir, you know, in the military and the veterans out there today that are out. You know, we make up every demographic, every race, every creed. And the most important thing that we have here, and, you know, in my opinion, is our right to vote and to participate in your government process and selection. So to us, as long as you're actively participating in the political process, you know, that's what we fought so hard to defend.
Yes, yeah. Sir. Well, there's more to discuss about our nation, and Josh is going to stay with us. This is Colonel Denny Gillum on Frontlines of Freedom. Troops, it's time for push-ups. I want you to do 103 push-ups. That's how many I do, well, most days. Then take a break, but stay in the area. We'll be right back. Troops, America has changed, and if you're like me, you defend yourself and your family if necessary. But as noble as this is, experts recommend never speaking to the police without an attorney, even if you're the victim. That's why I'm a member of U.S. Law Shield, the very best self-defense insurance that I've found. They provide unlimited attorney coverage for civil, criminal, appeal, and retrial at a very affordable price. Check uslawshield.com and use the code FRONTLINES. That's uslawshield.com.
We were instrumental in passing the VA Mission Act, so more veterans could have options and freedom in their health care. We're leading the charge to end America's endless wars, bringing thousands of troops home and stopping trillions of dollars from being wasted. Our key to success? You. We bring your voice to our nation's leaders so we can all have a better future. We are Concerned Veterans for America, the voice of veterans for freedom and prosperity. Visit cv4a.org to learn more and join the movement.
This is Colonel Danny Gillum. This is the final formation for this hour on Frontlines of Freedom. We're continuing our conversation with Josh Stanwitz from Concerned Veterans for America. Josh, there are all kinds of crazy things going on in the world, but the two biggest, craziest ones is one, the war in Ukraine, and the other is our southern border. Let's talk about this. Let's start with Ukraine.
Sure.
In one respect, there's no doubt that Russia should not have attacked Ukraine. On the other hand, should we be in it as heavily as we are, given the fact that we're broke? This is not an easy question. And I know CVA has given a lot of thought to this. Share us some insights.
Well, yeah, absolutely. So, you know, November 24th, it's going to be 9 months that the invasion has been going on in Ukraine. You know, Russia's hit tons of infrastructure targets. You have the ongoing fears of potential tactical nukes being yielded in that country, right, which would draw all of us in to potentially a nuclear conflict, European inflation, the global energy crisis, all of this, you know, is being impacted by this war. And, you know, realistically, CVA is not a huge fan of our involvement. You know, our big thing has always been, you know, does it actually impact national interests? Is this in our vested interest to be involved in this? And I think that we can safely say that in the Ukraine currently, I don't think so. You know, we spent more money combined in the Ukraine than we did the last couple of years in Afghanistan, $66 billion, created, I think, $20 billion in military aid to the Ukraine, with more coming. So, no, I don't think it's the wisest decision. I think U.S. officials and generals and a lot of strategic advisors are very well aware that there is no clear victory in sight for the Ukraine or Russia at this point in time. And we have a lot of problems here at home. You know, we have veterans that aren't getting health care. We have gas at an all-time high, inflation at an all-time high. Mortgage rates are, you know, closely starting to approach, you know, rates back that they were back in the late 70s and 80s. So, you know, we're at this place right now in time where we have a current administration that's writing a blank check to Ukraine while their extremely wealthy European neighbors, right, are not. So we're spending all of this money. It's coming out of our pockets. You know, my grandkids are going to be paying this off. Their European neighbors aren't paying for basically anything. So this is falling on the American taxpayer. I mean, let that sink in for a moment. We're supporting the Ukraine better than we are some veterans here at home. And we're paying for that out of our pockets, right? Like, that's absurd to think about.
Yeah, I agree with you. And it's not that the European nations aren't helping, but they're not doing it anywhere at the level we do. And it's sort of like the European countries are acting the way that we trained them to act 20 years ago when we really took over the defense of Europe and we just let them let us have our soldiers posted. You know, we did that for NATO for years.
Oh, yeah.
In the 80s and 90s. And, you know, well, we trained them, don't pay anything or don't pay much. The U.S. Well, and nobody's gotten around to saying, no, we're not there anymore.
Oh, yeah, 100%. And I mean, you saw that, you know, for years, CVA has pushed for allied burden sharing in that region, right? Because we can't continue to front the defense for, you know, Western Europe and our allies there while they continue to become, you know, economic superpowers, not spending any of their own money on their defense. You know, and that's actually, you saw something that the previous administration was working on pretty intensely. You know, Trump was working on that pretty hard with Poland at the time, right? Before he got elected out of office. Yes, sir.
Yeah, that is something that something's got to happen. And you say, well, gee, we can't abandon those poor people. Well, we're not everybody's savior. I'm sure we can find 100 other countries. There's or 50 anyway, where there are people being oppressed. Why aren't we in all of those places? Because we're not the savior of the world. And while I certainly agree with supporting Ukraine, we're not even replacing all the material, military material that we're giving them so that our military could fight another war because we don't have enough material left in stock. And
correct,
we're not replacing
correct.
It.
I mean, 100%, sir. You know, the Heritage Foundation released, I think it was last month, a study that was conducted on our military services to see, you know, where we were at in defending our nation and in our readiness. And it wasn't a jab. You know, the Army was currently rated at weak. The Air Force and Navy were both basically rated at weak. And the Marine Corps and our nuclear arsenals were rated at strong. And I mean, of course, the Marine Corps would be in there. I mean, they're the smallest entity, right? So it's a little easier. But, you know, one of the biggest things that we have to do as a country, and that's why these elections were so, you know, important, is we have to rein in our national debt. You know, we had General Mattis and, other several generals, you know, Admiral Mike Mullen that have stated that, you know, national debt's one of the biggest threats to our national security. And now we're just cutting blank checks again to the Ukraine. That doesn't really have anything to do with our national interest. And, you know, ultimately for the U.S. to be involved in something, we should have defined U.S. interests there. And if we're going to be involved in the system, there should be a clear strategy, right? And that's not something we're doing.
Agree totally. Well, we've covered that one pretty thoroughly. This is Colonel Denny Gillum on Frontlines of Freedom. We're talking with Concerned Veterans for America's Josh Stanwitz. Josh, I want to change the subject for a minute. We're getting towards the end. Talk to us about Concerned Veterans for America. There are several things that I really appreciate about CVA. First, they help all patriotic Americans, not just veterans. And they have ways that they can help them get active politically. And they help you have a voice. And second, they really think things through and have solid reasons for their positions. And finally, while they certainly can use financing, they don't hit you with a request for money the first every time you contact them. That's a really good combination of things. What does CVA do and how do they do it?
Yeah, absolutely. So Concerned Veterans for America, in my opinion, is the leading veteran advocacy and policy-based veterans organization in the nation. We work with both sides of the aisle to find common sense reforms to remove our barriers that our veterans are currently facing. And that goes with VA reform. We work tirelessly on VA Choice, the Mission Act. We're currently working on the GAPS Act, which was introduced by Senator Moran. That's guarantee healthcare access to personnel who serve. So that's codifying the Mission Act standards, guaranteeing veterans will get community care access, and guaranteeing the VA will have to be transparent with their information and reporting, something that they haven't been. You know, we're heavily involved in trying to hold our officials accountable for spending and sending our men and women and our brothers and sisters to war, right? And the great part about CVA is anybody can do this from home. You just go to www.cv4a.org, click take action, enter in your information, and there's petitions you can sign, letters you can generate, and it makes a difference. We've generated millions of letters on VA reform and millions of letters on foreign policy, and have swayed the needle extremely well. And the proof is in the pudding, right? You can see that with veterans getting more community care access now with the Mission Act and these laws starting to get passed through under, you know, the Obama administration, the Trump administration, and now under the Biden administration. So for anybody that wants to get involved, veteran, non-veteran, just love America, you're a supporter, go to www.cv4a.org, click take action, and you're set up, sir. It's that easy.
Well, and lots of Americans I know are frustrated. They want to do something, but they don't know what to do. And sitting at home griping is not adequate. So Concerned Veterans for America, CV4A.org, they'll give you something that you can do as much or as little as you want to do, and you know you're working in something that is good for America. So that's something that I obviously firmly believe in. Thank you, Josh, for joining us today.
Absolutely.
Thank you for your service to our nation in both services. Thank you for being a friend. I'm proud to call you friend.
Absolutely, sir. Thank you. Thank you for everything you do. Again, hope all of my my Marine brothers enjoyed their birthday, and all of my brothers and sisters that are veterans out there enjoyed Veterans Day. And again, if there's anything that we can ever do for you, contact Concerned Veterans for America. Let us know how we can help.
Yes, indeed. This concludes the first hour of the show. We'll start the second hour talking with Colonel Alan West from the American Constitutional Rights Union. We'll discuss last weekend's Service Academy football games, and of course, we'll conclude with our weekly mailbag, military history, and our self-defense report. This is Colonel Denny Gillum on Frontlines of Freedom. Troops, it's time for jumping jacks. Do 50 good ones, grab some protein, rehydrate with water. Finally, put a big smile on your proud-to-be-an-American face. Send me your thoughts by email or on Facebook.